are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Timberwolves are in the Windy City tonight to take on the Chicago Bulls. Today, we're going to preview that game as well as take something of a 5,000-foot view at the aftermath of the Jeff Teague trade that happened, a week ago Thursday. We'll also take a look at the latest in the Robert Covington trade chatter. There's not a lot there, but I just want to update on that as well. Let's actually start there first. We'll get to the Bulls here in a little bit. We'll also, when we talk about the Bulls, spend some time talking about old friend Zach LaVine, who's really finally coming around as a legit, maybe not quite a star player, but a borderline star player, which is kind of what Wolves fans expected once he was fully over his ACL injury. But more on that later. Let's start with Teague, Covington, the trade market, etc. There's no breaking news here. There's nothing that's come out in the past week that's of major significance. However, there were some articles posted related to Jeff Teague, primarily from The Athletic, which, you know, they do a great job overall. There's the Atlanta author for The Athletic, I don't know if he's the beat writer for the Hawks or at least writing about the Hawks for The Athletic. Chris Kirshner wrote an article about Jeff Teague returning to the Hawks. It was a good article. There were some quotes from Teague related to his thoughts on the move and how he expected his time in Minnesota to end, not to end differently necessarily, at least not since Tom Thibodeau was fired last year, but a lot about his overall mindset heading into the season that was pretty interesting. Basically, Teague said all the things you would expect him to say about how he was brought in by Thibodeau. His best year was his first year with Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose and the guys that he was expecting to play with in Minnesota. And then last year, he said after Tibbs was fired, he knew that he was going to get traded. He, of course, still picked up his player option. He's not going to turn down the $19 million and thought he would get traded in the summer before the season started. However, he wasn't traded. And early in the season, as everybody knows, Teague went to the bench and it was sold as a mutual decision between Ryan Saunders and Jeff Teague. And Teague confirmed that in this article. I guess he'd confirmed it in the media, but he actually went a step further and said it was his idea. And it was because of Andrew Wiggins is the reason that he did that. And that was something that he volunteered related to the switch to the bench. The exact quote was from Teague, and this is in the Athletic article that I mentioned a moment ago. Teague said, "I wanted him," meaning Andrew Wiggins, "to be the point guard and shoot all of the shots and finally make an all-star game. We were playing well at the beginning of the year, so I thought that maybe he could be an all-star and get the critics off his back. He was playing at a high level and things kind of turned. I guess I kind of shot myself a little bit because I was looking for another opportunity. It is what it is." End quote. So interesting that Teague really did this for Wiggins' benefit. And it sounds like he didn't really think a step further about the team as much. But he wasn't wrong in that having a couple of ball dominant guys in the starting lineup in Teague and Wiggins didn't make a ton of sense. And think back to the year with Jimmy Butler, how many guys were needing shots? Because those are three guys who need the ball in their hands to be successful. That doesn't even count Karl Anthony Towns. There's a reason Taj Gibson was a perfect fit, but he still got more shots in that offense a couple of years ago than you ever would have expected, just due to the all the other guys on the team who expect and needed the ball in their hands to truly be effective. Towns, Butler, Teague, and Wiggins. Interesting also that Teague believed in Wiggins to be an all-star caliber player, but that was apparently the impetus for that switch, sending Teague to the bench. So interesting to see him acknowledge that in this article. He also talked about how he understood the direction they were going and respected the Wolves being up front with him. He has a quote in here towards the end of the article. He said, quote, this is the second part of a quote about how he came in to play with the Tibbs crew. But he also says, quote, "They were upfront with me and let me know that this was their decision and they just wanted to go in a different direction. I respect it." End quote. So overall, it sounds like the Teague left on relatively good terms. He did want to leave. And then there's also a couple notes in here, not direct quotes, but basically that he loved his teammates in Minnesota and he knew that would. So he never actually requested a trade, but it was kind of unspoken. And the Timberwolves, it sounds like, basically told him, probably Gerson Rosas told Teague, "Hey man, we know that you don't fit the system as well and you're an expiring contract. We're going to trade you when we have the opportunity." And Teague was good with that. And also, you know, it helps that the Wolves found a place that Teague wanted to go in Atlanta. Even though Atlanta is bad, they're a 10-win team at this point, worse than the Wolves. It's a place where Teague spent 7 years of his career and obviously was interested in going. The article also mentions that he is going to get every opportunity to win the backup point guard spot for the future, as they'll, you know, the Hawks will need to fill that role this summer as well. And depending on how Teague performs with Atlanta, this is essentially an audition for the role. So that part of the move makes sense for Atlanta. All right. In a minute here, we're going to mention Robert Covington, talk about him a little bit. Then we'll transition over to the Bulls-Wolves matchup. Before we do that, though, I did want to talk a little bit about our friends at MyBookie once again. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between the tail end of football season, Super Bowls here in less than 2 weeks, and the middle of the NBA and college basketball seasons, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Also want to talk about our friends at Calm, our new friends at Calm. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, quote, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind," end quote. And if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. All right, let's wrap up the trade conversation by talking a little bit about Robert Covington. Britt Robson, who writes about the Timberwolves locally in the Twin Cities for The Athletic. Man, lots of athletic plugs today. He did a midseason player grade article, which is great. Broke down each player on the team with an overall midseason grade and then a grade relative to preseason expectations, which I think is a really clever and fair way to grade each player. And most of them, there weren't really any surprises at all. He was maybe a little bit lower on Jarrett Culver than I expected. But I mean, maybe I'm being clouded a little bit by recency bias. He gave Culver a B- relative to midseason grade. And a C- relative to preseason expectations. Gorgui Dieng got an A+ for his relative grade. Not really too many surprises. The one interesting one that I wanted to mention was Robert Covington, because Robson does have a note in there about related to the possibility of Covington being traded. He does give Covington an A- for the season and an A relative to his preseason expectations. I had mentioned on this podcast a couple of times previously that I felt like he had a pretty slow start to the season that was mostly due to, I think, in my opinion, finishing his recovery from knee surgery that he had just really a few months ago in the spring. But overall, lately, he's played a lot better. And except for the few games where he's hesitant to pull the trigger from beyond the arc, he's been really good lately. As Robson points out, he leads the team in minutes, steals, blocks, and three-pointers made, is a feel-good locker room anchor and defensive floor general, and is the best fit on both sides of the ball for the new system. Okay, now here's the part that I want to talk about related to potential trade rumors. This is that last sentence, then this next part's a direct quote from Britt's article. There are persistent rumors that because he is 6 years older than Kat and has a bargain contract for the next two seasons, He will be the primary trade chip to secure a second burgeoning star to run the offense on the perimeter. If true, Rosas better make sure the return enacts a profound impact on his plan, or his credibility will deservedly suffer. End quote. It's a great point, and it's another way of saying what I've been saying all along here at Locked On Wolves, is that I don't think Covington gets traded, and if he does, it's going to be for an absolute haul, because Covington embodies exactly what Rosas has talked about since day one. Three-pointers, defense, defensive versatility and flexibility. He's a guy that everybody loves in the locker room. He's affordable. He's basically the perfect third or fourth star, for a playoff team, and even potentially for a championship team. He's probably not the third best player on a championship team, but he's probably the best defender on a championship team at this stage in his career. Still, he's right in the middle of his prime, and apparently he's healthy at this point too. If Rosas is going to practice what he's been preaching since May, for the last 9 months or so, then Covington's a guy that needs to stay in the fold at the bargain contract he's on, as Britt points out, and what he provides on both ends of the floor. He's a perfect fit for what the Wolves are doing. There's no reason the Wolves should have to trade him. If he was an expiring contract, if he was going to leave anyways, if he was due a big raise at the end of the year, if he was, 5 years younger and an expiring contract, that makes sense. Somebody like a Dario Saric, of course, was traded partially for that reason, because the Wolves didn't want to have to be the ones that paid him for that next extension that would likely have overpaid him. But Covington's a bargain. There's no incentive for the Wolves to move him now, unless somebody, a contending team, gets desperate and wants to pony up something, something significant to get Covington in return, whether that's multiple first round picks or a young player who has got some similar potential to Covington on an affordable contract. But again, just not something that makes a ton of sense for the Wolves to do. And interesting that Rosas points it out in that fashion, basically acknowledging that by trading Covington, Rosas better know what he's doing. Otherwise, he risks the questioning of his own philosophy and the way that he's gone about reshaping this team. So I take that to basically be underscoring of my take that Covington is unlikely to be traded over the next couple of weeks prior to the February 6th deadline. All right, transitioning over to talk about Wolves-Bulls. We'll spend the rest of the show talking about that matchup. I did want to start, before we get into the team versus team matchup, talk a little bit about Zach LaVine. And really, we probably could have done a whole segment on Zach. He was a Timberwolf for 3 years, won two dunk contests, was... really turned into a fan favorite, and it was sad to see him traded. Of course, his first couple seasons were pretty polarizing. First year, he played a lot of point guard under Sam Mitchell as the interim head coach, did not play well, was one of the worst players in the league on a permanent basis for the Wolves. Second year, things started to click a little bit. He became a consistent three-point shooter, shot 39% from three. And then year three, 47 games in, tears his ACL, and that summer was traded. And before he tore his ACL, he was continuing to show another leap. He was shooting just shy of 39% from the field, but he was converting more at the rim. He was continuing to get to the free throw line. His defense was stabilizing just a little bit. And that was, of course, then he was part of the Jimmy Butler trade that summer as a 21-year-old coming off an ACL tear. At the time, I, of course, was not hosting this podcast, but was writing at Dunking with Wolves still. And my take on the trade was it was outstanding, great move, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody thought it was. I thought the Wolves should have tried as hard as they could to move Andrew Wiggins instead of Zach LaVine. It's not clear that they didn't do that. They may have tried to do that, and it's possible the Bulls preferred LaVine. We probably will never know. At least to my knowledge, that isn't out there anywhere. But as it's turned out, LaVine was it took him a year plus to return from his ACL in terms of getting back to himself. And last year, you could argue he was the better player, him versus Wiggins, obviously different players. But he still struggled a little bit last year. His three-point shot was still 37%. He was getting to the line more frequently, but overall was still taking some inefficient shots, and his defense was pretty bad again last year. Now this year, though, he's blossomed into, you could argue he's a star. He's not going to make the All-Star team. He plays on a team that's roughly as good as the Timberwolves in terms of their record, although they've played a little better lately. And honestly, the roster probably has a higher ceiling than what the Wolves have right now. But he's back to shooting just shy of 39% from three. He's shooting per game. He's attempting 8 threes per game, which is by far his career high. He's increased his three-point rate to where 40.7% of his shot attempts are from beyond the arc. And he's getting the free throw line a little bit less, but he's also contributing in other areas this year. His defense has improved drastically. His steal rate's way up, his block rate's up a little bit. And on offense, despite his usage rate going up, his turnover rate is down, and his assist rate has not it's down, but it's not down drastically. So he's getting better in all the areas that we've been waiting for him to improve, primarily defense, but also activity on defense, getting steals. His rebound rate's slightly higher. He's been a little more active there with his height and athleticism. You know, playing the two guard, he really should be grabbing a fair number of rebounds. He's now up to just shy of 5 rebounds per game. When he was in Minnesota, he was in the 2.5 to 3.5 range per game. 4 assists a game, a steal and a half a game. So both the rate and counting stats are up. And he's been consistent across the board with his shooting percentages basically for his career. This year, he's at 44.5% from the field. For his career, he's 44.6. This year, he's at 38.8% from three. For his career, he's at 37.7. So actually up, although his rookie season and his shortened ACL year really kind of influenced that number a little bit. Free throw shooting, 82.9%. For his career, 82.5%. So all of his shooting splits have held steady. And he's scoring more with more opportunity and scoring more efficiently. So good for Zach. He's leading a team. He's clearly the best player on that team right now. And it's a team that's dealt with a lot of injuries, as we'll get into here in a minute. But good for Zach that he's improved the way that he has. All right, next up, we're going to talk a little bit more about LaVine, but more broadly about the Wolves-Bulls matchup and what to expect on Wednesday night. The matchup between the Wolves and Bulls is actually fairly intriguing. Both are teams who were projected to be 30 to 35-ish win teams, maybe a little bit better, at least in the Wolves' case. Both teams have underperformed a little bit, but they both still have fairly high ceilings and have some players that have some leaps to make and have also had quite a few injuries. Chicago, to this point, is 16-29, but they have the win differential of a 19-win team, so they've basically been unlucky to the tune of 3 games over the course of the first half of the season, which is pretty significant. That's like kind of shades of the Kevin Love, Rick Adelman team that won 40 games and should have won like 47 or whatever it was. So that's been disappointing. It's been a little bit of bad luck. They played better lately. They recently went on a 6-game losing streak, but have alternated wins and losses over the past little bit over a week. They beat the Pistons, lost the Celtics, beat the Wizards, lost the Sixers, beat the Cavs, lost the Bucks. So they beat teams that they certainly could beat, Cavs, Wizards, Pistons, and lost to playoff teams in the Celtics, Sixers, and Bucks. The 6-game losing streak was mostly to playoff teams. In fact, it was entirely to playoff teams except for the New Orleans Pelicans. So 5 of those 6 were against good teams. And then prior to that, they were beating other poor teams, Washington and Detroit again, also Atlanta. And then they beat the Clippers a couple weeks back as well. So mostly they're beating teams that are of a similar caliber, which is basically exactly what the Wolves should be doing. They've struggled. They've struggled, of course, to do that lately. They've lost a couple of games to teams that they probably should have beaten. But both the Bulls and the Wolves are kind of in that, you know, they're still in that bad team tier, but they're towards the top of the bad teams. They're beating up on the teams that are, you know, far below them in the standings. LaVine recently, he dropped 42 the other night in the Wolves, or excuse me, in the Bulls win over the Cavs. And he's been, you know, he was also a factor, and they only lost to the Bucks by 13. They were in that game, except for Giannis had a triple double as well. And they've already lost their 4 games to the Bucks, so they won't have to see them again. The Bulls aren't likely, they're in a similar spot to the Wolves in terms of the playoffs, where this is like, you know, the Bulls are what? They're 3.5 out of the playoffs. The Wolves are now 5 out of the playoffs. So both teams are kind of on the very edge of the periphery of the playoff conversation and realistically are not likely to make the playoffs this season, but certainly have hope for the future. The Bulls, I mentioned already, Zach LaVine's their best player. They also, somewhat ironically this year, are a better defensive team than an offensive team, which flies in the face of everything that Wolves fans remember about Zach LaVine. He was an awful, awful, awful defender for his first 2 years in the league. And is still now probably below average for a wing defender, but he's stabilized a little bit. He's gotten better. He's certainly a more intelligent defender than he was, and he still has all the athletic gifts that he had when he was with the Wolves. The Bulls are actually a top 10 team in defensive rating. They're number 9 right now, and they're only 27th in offensive rating. Somewhat strangely, I mean, the Bulls actually shoot a fair number. I mean, they're 9th in the league in 3-point attempts. So for all the concern about Jim Boylan being the coach and what that offense might look like, they're shooting threes. They're just not making them very often. They're 19th in 3-point percentage, which I guess they're attempting less and making more threes than the Wolves. But that has been an area where they've actually been decent. They've been respectable there. Their issues have come more rebounding the ball and also ball movement. And part of that is the injuries they've had, and also the nature of an offense led by Zach LaVine. Without some of his other weapons around him, he's going to be more ball dominant. His usage rate has skyrocketed. It's over 32%. So it's a little bit of the issue. They've been healthy from a star perspective, or their best players as far as Levine and Markkanen have been healthy. But Otto Porter Jr. was acquired last year and was expected to be a really big part of this team. He's only played in 9 games due to a foot injury. He's expected back around the All-Star break, but he's a guy who was supposed to be a big part of this team. He averaged 18 points a game after he was traded from Washington last year. He's on a big contract. He's supposed to be really kind of the second best player. Him and Levine are supposed to lead this team, with Markkanen as more of a third piece. And now recently, Wendell Carter, the second year big man, he's only 20 years old, has had a really good season, averaging about 12 and 10, and, you know, solid defender. And he's out, just recently came down with an ankle injury and will miss at least 4 to 6 weeks. That was about a week ago. So another big injury. I mean, so that's effectively two of their starters in Carter and Porter. Chris Dunn has continued to really kind of struggle and not offer very much. As an NBA player, he remains a decent defender, but just so bad on offense that he pretty much he's kind of solidified his future as a backup point guard in the league. And obviously he was the other big piece of that trade, that brought Butler to the Wolves. And also, I guess Lauri Markkanen technically was too, as a draft pick. And Markkanen's been good. He's taken maybe a mini step backwards. He's shooting 34% from three. He doesn't provide much else, you know, 6.5 rebounds a game, 15 points a game. And so if he's not shooting threes at a much higher clip than that, he's just kind of a rotational player. He's not, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs with him as their second best player, which is part of the reason why Porter was so important to this team. They've got some depth. They've got guys, you know, Thaddeus Young is on this team, although he complained a little bit about his role after coming over. He's only averaging 22 minutes a game, 9 points, 4.5 rebounds. He's 31 years old now, but that's a clear step backwards for him in terms of production, and also opportunity. So it's a team that, if healthy, is fairly deep. I guess the other guy that was a new acquisition that's their primary starter in the backcourt with Levine now is Tomas Satoransky, who is really kind of a short minutes star, if you will, with Washington and in his past. And he's been solid as a starting guard here as well. So if healthy, if Porter and Carter were healthy, and some of the other kind of guys on the periphery of the rotation, Chandler Hutchison's a little banged up. If this team was healthy, it's fairly deep. I thought it would be a playoff team in the East. I thought this was kind of a 40-ish win team. They're not probably going to get there at this point, especially with these injuries. But Porter will come back soon. We'll see. And Levine has made a legitimate, you know, a mini jump this year. And if he makes another jump next year, he will be an all-star. I mean, he's just kind of on that cusp because he's so dynamic scoring the ball and he's become solid defensively. So at any rate, interesting matchup. It should be a lot of fun to watch, and definitely a game that the Wolves could lose on the road at Chicago. And remember, Minnesota's lost 6 in a row themselves. So it would be huge for the Wolves to pull this one out against a decent opponent on the road. Their only visit to Chicago this year. So we'll be back on Thursday with a recap of this game. We'll talk studs and duds, and we'll talk, of course, about anything significant that happens between now and then. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.